I'm not using paper today. I'm using an iPad. So by the grace of God and Steve Jobs, this will work. The scripture this morning comes from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. Let us hear God's word. No temptation has overtaken you, except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. May God bless the reading of God's word. So here we are, people. We are in the first Sunday after Easter. It's Eastertide. We are rejoicing in our salvation and eternal life through Jesus. We've been saved through the resurrected Christ. Jesus died for our sins, and we are reconciled to God. Things get easier from here, right? Right? Things get easier now. Is that what this passage from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians is saying? We're saved. No more temptation to sin beyond what we can bear. I don't think so. That's not the reality I've lived. Taking Paul's language on its face, it's sometimes used to reflect on the temptation to sin. Because we often use the word temptation to mean doing something we shouldn't do. And you might read this as providing assurance that God gives us the means to resist the temptation to sin. I want to take a different perspective on it. And the reason for that is that Paul doesn't use the word sin. And no translation that I've seen uses the word sin. Now, for those of you who have read Paul's letters, you know he isn't shy about using the word sin, but he doesn't use it here. The Greek word that Paul uses is parasmos. And the NIV translates that as temptation. So that's the translation that I put in the bulletin. The NRSV, which is the translation in your pews, translates it as testing. But temptation and testing aren't great translations of the Greek word parasmos. A better translation might be experiment, or a trial, or a proving. So what I'm trying to do is move us away from thinking that Paul is talking about being tempted or tested to resist sin, and move us closer to how and when we're tried and pushed or moved into an experiment in a new and challenging place. And what Paul is saying about those times when we're pushed outside of our comfort zones and deeply, deeply into our discomfort zone. So I'm going to share a bit about something I experienced with a client in prison just this last week, coincidentally, as I was writing this. But let me begin with a conversation I had with my new friend, Pat Morrow, our lead deacon today, which sort of got me into this passage, because as Pat and I were talking, he said, Well, Dave, God doesn't give you anything more than you can handle, right? And I said, well, Pat, you know, I've heard people say that. But I don't think that that common statement is really a good reading of Scripture. And frankly, I don't find it that helpful. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, at chapter 10, verse 13, could be the closest we get to New Testament Scripture that would support that common aphorism. But it's not saying that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. I said to Pat, I think the way I might say it is God calls us into service and into relationship. And that service and life with God can be really tough. And it can feel sometimes like it's more than we can handle. But if we're open to listening, we will hear that call accurately. We'll respond to that call. We'll acknowledge and know that it's God's call. And then we'll behave in a way that enables us to sustain ourselves in the call. It's when we mistake our own desires for what God is calling us to that we're sort of on our own. We're left to our own devices without the tools that God provides. So when Paul says, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, to me, a better and more resonant reading is that he's saying, God will not call us into a life with God and service to God's creation that we cannot bear. It's the idea that when God is calling, there's often this strong gravitational pull to pay attention to something else. Or we keep our blinders on so that we aren't seeing or hearing what God is telling us. This is when we ignore or resist God's call in favor of something else that we think we'd rather be doing. Or we quit. Or we get diverted after recognizing it's God's call and responding to God's call. But we don't stick with it. To me, that makes more sense when we consider this Greek word, parasmos, and when we consider it to be more of an experiment pulling us into unfamiliar territory or a trial as opposed to a temptation to sin. So again, I'm talking about where we are pulled and how we might be blinded to avoid God's call in favor of some other call or to quit after responding to God's call. It's like gravity. It's a force that either pulls us in a certain direction or it can prevent us from going anywhere. If we ignore the call to move, gravity's cool with that. It just keeps exerting itself. If we give up after we do move, gravity's fine with that too. It just pulls us back. So overcoming that gravitational pull is kind of like paying attention to God's call. And then just to carry this metaphor forward a bit, I see Paul saying, God's call will never be so out of reach or imperceptible or difficult or incomprehensible that the force of the pull to ignore it or to quit will be stronger than the force of the call to serve. The force of the pull to ignore it or to quit will never be stronger than the force of the call to serve. And if that's the case, you can hear and answer that call. You just need to know that it's God's call for that force to kick in. And when it does, it's powerful. After Paul writes, "God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear," he writes, "He," meaning God, "will also provide a way out so you can endure it." You can endure the pull to quit. You can endure the pull to listen to yourself or your friends over God. It's the same as saying, if it's truly God's call for you, God will provide the strength and the means to endure it. I don't think that can be extrapolated into a trite sentimentality that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. You see, that phrase gets deployed when trying to comfort someone who's experienced tragedy, death, or despair. But I don't think it makes sense in that context. Because it suggests that God is the one imposing tragedy, death, and despair on us. And because God is all good and all loving in Christian theology, there must be something good and loving in that tragedy, death, and despair. No, that's not right. There is nothing good in tragedy, death, and despair, and violence. And God isn't bringing that upon us. What God is doing is providing us the means to cope and to enter into deeper relationship with God in those times. I mean, it just can't be right that I'm supposed to say to a parent who loses a child, "Well, God doesn't give you anything more than you can handle." Is that what I'm supposed to say to the person who just found out he has terminal brain cancer? Is that what I'm supposed to say to the single mom working two jobs who can barely get by to support her family because her husband left her? It's all good. God doesn't give you anything more than you can handle. That can't be right. It's that God calls us in. God calls us into relationship so that we can endure our limited human existence, so that we don't give up. And God calls us into service too, to God's creation, to make sure others don't give up, and to make sure others maintain hope, providing us with the love, the support, the comfort, and the insight so that we don't quit that service to others. I feel like I don't need to tell you guys this. You're here in church. You know there's something that's pulling you to be here. That's God's call. And you've listened. God's call is what you're feeling when you have the draw to help a stranger or a neighbor when you don't have to. That's God speaking. God's call is what you're hearing when you prioritize your community over your individual comfort. God's call is what you're experiencing When you feel heartache, when you read about the atrocities in the Ukraine, thousands of miles away, or another mass shooting in a town you don't know and have never heard of. God's call is what motivates you to build a life toward others in justice, mercy, and compassion. We don't have to feel compassion, but we do. You know those feelings? Those pulls? Don't resist it. That is God calling you in. Lean into that feeling until it becomes more than a feeling. That's a Boston song. Lean in until it becomes a new vision toward life together. Lean in until it becomes an action. That's God's call. So I'll share a story with you. Some of you know I represent victims of sex trafficking, domestic abuse, and sexual violence. And I said I got this email, coincidentally, from a client last week. This is a woman who was in solitary confinement, which is one of the most horrible, torturous things you can do to a human being. And a truncated version of that note, which she gave me permission to share, reads, "Peace, Dave." That's how she begins every note. "I'm in a room all by myself, just left with my thoughts. And this voice says to give up. And I sometimes feel it's the best solution. All my life I struggled. That guy that raped me when I was only 6 years old never even went to prison for it. But it caused me to be taken away from my mother into foster care, where I endured more suffering. So now I'm asking God, why did that happen? Another voice says, I can never give up because it will get better. I'm 48 years old, Dave. When will it get better? Am I supposed to tell her God has a plan? God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Somehow I don't see that providing much comfort. Doesn't sound to me very empathetic or loving. And it implies that God is the one giving you your misery. I can imagine the response from her. She might say, you know what, Dave? This actually is more than I can handle. And damn God, if this is God's doing. Is that the message we're trying to send? Put aside whether it even has a place in Christian theology. Is that the message we as Christians want to convey? After my discussion with Pat, he sent me this awesome YouTube video, which I suggest you guys go look at. It's of the Duke women's basketball coach, Kara Lawson, who tells her players, we have this tendency to say to ourselves, things are going to get easier. Just need to get through this rough patch and things will get easier. We wait around for things to get easier. You know what, friends? There's some bad news and there's some good news. Bad news is that they won't. Life never gets easier. In fact, the more open we are to God's call, the more life throws your way. When you take those blinders off, the more life throws your way. Why? Because you become less focused on your will and what you want and more focused on God's will. You become less focused on self-preservation and self-protection and more focused on communal preservation. You become less focused on the simple answers, the aphorisms that people throw out, and the simple solutions. And you become more focused on the difficult, unanswerable questions. Life does not get easier. But it sure gets more interesting, gets more expansive, communal, and enlightening when we listen and act on what we hear. I might add that it becomes more liberating. Coach Lawson tells her players, you know what? As soon as things are getting easier for you on this team, we're going to make it harder for you. She tells her players, don't be the person who waits for things to get easier. Be the person who handles hard well. Now, these are my words. Be the person who's listening for what is God's call. Make space for God's call. And recognize that it's God's call. And then answer God's call. Even when it's tough. Even when it isn't the safe thing to do. Even when it's not what you're taught to do, to get ahead. Even when it isn't going to benefit you in some immediate and tangible way. Now here's the good news. While life doesn't get easier, as Coach Lawson says, we can get better at dealing with the reality, with the hard. Now, she didn't go here, but I will. We can do that by growing into intimacy with God. And what I mean by that is listening to God more intently than listening to that voice in our heads or the advertising and social media that barrages us every hour of every day. Or frankly, anything else that's drowning out the truth of God's call. Listening to God more intently than we listen to ourselves. Listening to God more carefully than we listen to someone trying to get us to do more with our blessed 24 hours in each day so that we become more successful. Listening to the truth of God more carefully than we listen to the forces behind our political and economic systems. Listening to God more carefully than we listen to the expectations of our peers and our colleagues, and yes, even our families who have thoughts and plans and expectations for us. There are a lot of false narratives out there pulling our attention away from the truth of God. Narratives that want to sell us something or use our labor or get us to vote for something or someone. Narratives that are designed to drown out the truth of the message God is providing every hour of every day. In both the mundane and the glorious beauty of everyday life. Let God's voice enter the dialogue. Make a little space for that to enter in. If you don't do it consciously, there are enough pernicious other voices out there that will take up that space. God's truth and God's voice is the only truth you're going to hear. Life doesn't get easier. Don't wait for it to get better. That ain't life. Life is dealing with difficult better. It's leaning into the difficult because that's God's call. It's dealing with the reality, with greater understanding and insight. And the most effective way to do that, in my mind, is to recognize what God gives us to enable us to answer that challenge. Before I close, I'll share with you my response to that woman who was suffering in solitary in the maximum security prison in New York. There are some folks from my law firm here. I would ask that you not share this with the folks back at the office. They probably wouldn't approve of my response to her. But remember, she said there were two voices she was hearing. She said one was telling her to give up, and the other was telling her to hang on. So I said to her, listen to the voice telling you never give up. That is the voice of God. God loves you. God will hold you. God will embrace you. And even when you're completely alone, God is inviting you into deep and intimate relationship. I said, I'm not going to give you simple, encouraging words. I'm not going to tell you that there's a time when things will get better. We're working on one part of that, getting you justice. But I can't promise that that will make things better. The only thing we all have with each other as brothers and sisters in humanity, which is the way we need to think about this, is the love of God as God's children. I and we are thinking about and praying for you as we hold you, love you, and embrace you as one of our own sisters. Please hang on. Rely on the strength only God can give, and know that we're here for you, fighting like hell. Amen.